Amen. Good. Are we sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin. Okay. That's not the scripture that I had to start with. That's the scripture I had to start with. Well, good morning. I was going to start off by praying for Stephanie, but Stephanie is not here. So I won't start by praying for Stephanie. I'll pray for Stephanie in a moment. But sometimes as we look around us, we can think that we're on our own. And when it comes to church life, I look at this church, Grace Community Church, because that's the church that God has called me to, and hopefully he's called you to as well. And we're part of the family, as we say. And we're blessed that over the years we've had different people come and share with us. And if you look at God's word as food, they've brought different foods to us to participate in and to eat and to digest. And over these last months or so, we've had the privilege of having Ken come and share with us, and Arthur come and share with us, and myself. So we've had an array of a banquet. And it's good to experience different aspects of what God is doing. And what I like about the three people that I've just mentioned, including myself, is that we are who God has called us to be. So I have the privilege of being able to dress us as a family and speak the words that God has given me in a way that God has hopefully gifted me to speak. And I want to start by saying, over the weeks and maybe months or so now, I've been talking about a pendulum that swings. And many of you, if you've been in Christian life long enough, you'll understand what I mean by this pendulum. Sometimes you can go to a service and the pendulum swings right over here and it seems to be off the wall, and then it goes the other way and it's off the scale in a different way. And I believe that the pendulum is coming into the center, and we're starting to see God's heart afresh. We're starting to see God's people rise up. You may not see it within your own personal sphere, but as I look around Kingdom, as I try and see what's happening around the world, I see that God is not left this creation of his. He's still very much part of it. And even though there may be times that you may look at the negative, if you look into the center, God has already given us the answer to the question. He says, fear not, these things will happen. There will be wars, there will be rumors of wars. There'll be a generation of people that will mock me. And even when we look through what's happening just recently, we see how Christianity is being mocked. But fear not, the Bible says. God says, fear not, for I am with you. That's good news, isn't it? We could end on that, but I have an hour and a half, so why waste that time? Now, I jest. We only have an hour. And I want to read, you know, it's like as I'm rehearsing for this wedding speech, I realize that I'm amongst family, so that I can jest at times. But there's a seriousness to what we do. And I want to read this portion of scripture out. But before I do that, I want to pray for Stephanie. Stephanie, I want to pray for you. We want to pray for you as a family. We won't go into detail, but we just want God to bless you. So if you think that this is a good prayer, just say amen afterwards and say it loudly. Father God, we thank you for Stephanie. We thank you for the heart of compassion that you've given her. Father God, we thank you that you are for her. And if you are for her, who can be against it? Father, we thank you that he that is in her is greater than he that is in the world, and there's nothing that she cannot accomplish because you live within her. Father, we thank you for this next months and maybe even years of a journey that you've given her to embark, to undertake, responsibilities and, Father God, blessings along the way. So we pray for a grace upon her this day. We pray for a favor upon her this day. We pray, Father God, for wisdom to know when to speak and wisdom to know when to be quiet. We pray, Father God, that she would lead by example. We pray, Father God, that as she ministers to her family and her new extended family, that the grace of God would just drip from her, Father God. Lavish her with blessings, we pray. As a family, we ask this in Jesus' name, and we all said, Amen. So be blessed. And in this scripture here in James 1:12, it says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive a crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So my question is, do you love him? And if the answer is yes, then there's a crown of glory that he's promised us. Now, there's a journey that we go on, isn't there? The Bible talks about trial and tribulation produces character. And if you're anything like me, you go, God, I've got enough character. Please, no more character. But character produces hope, and hope will not disappoint, because he's the God of hope, isn't he? And when we look at blessed, I want to do something that I very rarely do. And I looked up some meanings of blessed. The word blessing, a sign of God's favor. In the book of Joel, it talks about a double portion. It talks about a financial grace. It talks about being blessed through restoration. God's divine presence is a blessing. Deliverance, family favor, and the working of miracles. And we all need the help of the Holy Spirit, don't we? So we're blessed of God. Today I encourage you to keep moving forward. Keep believing, keep asking, keep standing firm. Don't give up. And one of the things I want to say to us as a church, it was said to me, you know, sometimes certain words and phrases, they stick in your mind. And I was speaking with someone last week, and that was to do with this, and I mentioned it. You know, we start the race well, let's finish well. So wherever you are on your race, Paul puts it like this. He says, I run the race as if to win the prize. So run the race as if to win the prize. There is a crown of glory that the Bible talks about. In 13, it says this. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. And it's tempting to say, God is tempting me at times, isn't it? If that's not too much of a tongue twister. Sometimes, Lord, why are you tempting me? Well, he's not. You may go through tests, you may go through trial, and you may go through tribulation, but God does not tempt you. It's the evil one that tempts us. And this scripture talks about we're normally dragged away by our own evil desire. Thanks, God, for reminding me. You know, why have you allowed this to happen? Why did you do that then, son? You know, there's sometimes my thoughts, my actions will lead me into that area of temptation. But the Bible talks about he's delivered us from death. He's brought us into life, and he won't give us more than we can bear. Have you recited that portion of scripture lately? He will not give you more than you can bear. So stand, move forward. In the garden, when Jesus was in that position where he knew he was to be crucified, he knew the pain and anguish of our sin was going to be laid upon him. And he said, if it's possible, but not my will, your will be done. And that says this, going a little further. And I like that phrase in scripture, going a little further. And that's all God asks of us. You know, someone says to us at times, how do you eat an elephant? And we say, one bite at a time. So how do we go on this journey of faith, one step at a time? Let's go a little further. And let's see the possibilities that God will open up for us. So I want to talk about, not necessarily running this race, but I want to talk about what God says to us and through us. See, Susan, you're not the only one that can't find this scripture. So you're in good, it's a family trait, obviously. God is for us, who can be against us? It talks about in Matthew 25:21, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. I put this in because I'm talking about our journey. I'm talking about this journey of faith. I want to encourage us to keep going. This isn't a time where you just come to church and we're cheerleaders for one another. But there are times where we need to be reminded that God is for us. And if he's for us, who can be against us? I don't believe there's anybody in this room that has not gone through difficulties. I don't believe there's anyone in this room that has not questioned, Lord, where are you? That has not questioned, I thought I was your child. I thought I was supposed to prosper. I thought my body was supposed to be healthy. I don't believe there's nobody in this room that hasn't questioned God. But that's okay. But it's when we stay in that place, that's when God says, move forward. Go a little further. And in this portion of scripture, we're talking about his master said, well done, good and faithful servant. It's a story, read it. It's all about being entrusted with something. And then we see a multiplication. And the reward is, well done, good and faithful servant. And it goes on to say this, you have been faithful with a small, then I'm going to put you in charge of many. And sometimes in our lives, we look at other people and we go, wow, wouldn't it be great to have that? Well, don't pray for their responsibility if you're not willing to work with what God has given you. So God has given me a portion. He's given you a portion. What he wants us to do is just work with it. Just see it multiply. And it may seem small to you. Well, all I do is this. Well, that's good enough, isn't it? Well done, good and faithful servant. So as we journey, regardless if you're a young Christian or a mature Christian, in how long, I'm not talking about how old you are, how long you've been in kingdom, whether you've started work at the first hour or you're the 11th hour worker, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. And one of the things that I want to share with us today is that this journey should be a joyous journey. Does it mean that everything will go right? No, it doesn't. But he'll be right there beside us. He will never leave us or forsake us. So wherever you are on your journey, and maybe I'm just ministering to one person, maybe I'm ministering to someone that will listen to this online, but if God has given you a gift, which he has, that gift of faith, he just wants you to exercise it. He just wants you to use it. So when we go on this journey, when we run this race, when we walk along this narrow pathway, be of good cheer. You're not on your own. God is with you. And if he is for you, who can be against you? It says this in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, Paul says this. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Paul is coming to the end of his ministry. And he understands that it's been tough at times. You know, remember when people talk about Paul and the mighty works that God gave him to do. Remember his name was changed. He used to be Saul, a persecutor of the way. That's the gospel in action there. Here's a man who was persecuting the way, the truth and the life. He thought what he was doing was a righteous act, but it was an unrighteous act. And yet when he heard the voice, when he was called into the kingdom, he took the passion that he had that was against God's people and he became for God's people. So he understood what it was to suffer for the gospel. And he's getting to a point where he's coming to the end of his race. And he says, I have kept the faith. There is in store for me a crown of righteousness. And sometimes we can look at Paul's life and think, yeah, well, I can see how God could crown him with righteousness, but what about me? My journey hasn't been as much. There's times in my life where I listen to testimony and I kind of think, now this is a bit backward. I kind of think, oh, I wish I had a worse life than I did. Then I'd have a better testimony. I wish I was this or I was that. I wish I was a womanizer. I wish I was a drunkard or on drugs. And then when God got hold of me, I could tell everybody, what a fantastic God we have. He saved me from this pit of hell. But the truth is, I was born into that pit of hell. I was born unrighteous. And even though in my own eyes I felt at times I lived a moral life, I was still anti-God. Do you get that? Do you understand that? So God saved me just as much as he saved Paul. And so wherever you are on your journey, you might not feel at times that you have a testimony, but you do. That testimony lives within you. It's the King of Kings and it's the Lord of Lords. So wherever you are on this journey, whether you're at the end of the race or at the beginning of the race, enter into the joy of the Lord. Let's be a people that will not read this scripture. We go, I fight the fight, where we fight the good fight. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I've got to push through. But this gospel that we preach should bring life and liberty. That doesn't mean there won't be times where we walk through treacle. But keep going. Go a little further. I've kept the faith. But we need to continue to read when we are inspired by men and women of God. We need to read scripture, put it into context. Listen to what he says. We're talking about that crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me, he says, on that day. And then the ever-present encourager, not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. That's me and you. So on our journey, it doesn't matter where we are, we should bring other people with us. We should be a people that will encourage. We should be a people that will lift others up. Do you know what? I want other people to stand on my shoulders and become taller than I ever could be. It's not hard, is it? To be taller than I could ever be spiritually as well as in stature. I want other people to prosper more than I've ever been prospered. I want them to be blessed in a greater measure than I've ever experienced blessing. Why? Because that's the nature that God puts in us. We should want other people to succeed. You know, on life's journeys, there are only a handful of people we can share our blessings with. There's only a handful of people you'll be able to say, do you know what? I've been praying for my bank balance and God has done this. You can't share it with many people because they go, who do you think you are boasting? I boast and I boast in the Lord, because they misinterpreted what that person has said. They said, look what God has done. When someone says, I've had the privilege of renewing my car and buying a newer one, a better one, there's only a few people we can share it with. Isn't that sad? Because we belong to a culture, even within the church, where we can point the finger, where we can say, who do you think you are? I'm sharing what God has done in my life. He's my provider. He's my blessing. And I don't do it to boast. So wherever we are, let's bring other people with us. Wherever we are, whenever we're blessed, let's remember to bless others on this journey. We start well. Let's make sure we finish well, regardless to where we are on that journey. In Matthew 20, verse 1, it says this. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for a day and sent them into his vineyard. When I first read this portion of scripture, it really spoke to me. And I hope as you read it afresh another time that it will speak to you. Because we talk about the 11th hour worker. We talk about the man, the woman, the child that at the end of their life, they make a commitment to God. And what does God say? Where was you a year ago? No, he doesn't say that, does he? He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But Christians, so often what can happen is we can be robbed of our peace because we can look at someone else and say, it's not fair. It's not fair that I should bear the brunt of the hard work for these 30 odd years, Lord. And Arthur comes, he makes a commitment, and he's blessed. He's blessed. What about me? I'm blessed too. Thank you, sister. You see, someone's reading their Bible. That's the truth of it, isn't it? But in our humanness, am I the only one? In our humanness, we can look at someone else, not know the story, not know what's going on in their lives, and look at them and go, how come you're blessed and I'm not? Well, you've got it back to front. It should be, I'm glad you're blessed because I am too. And as we share what God has done in our lives, we should be able to share those blessings one with another. As we journey, as God calls us to do certain things, we should be able to share with each other as a family. I should be able to speak to my natural family at our wedding service tomorrow and know that they know that they're loved by us, their parents. I shouldn't have to watch what I say because I'm in the presence of family, that they know my heart. And same as us in church, as we get to know each other's hearts, and more importantly, we get to know the heart of the Father. Because this landowner, he sent out his representative to go and hire people. I love this story in the sense that at the end of the day, there's people standing there waiting to be hired. That's what the story is all about. And it says this, it says, why are you standing here idle? And the reply is, well, no one's hired us. If you look at that in the natural sense, just read the whole story and try and see through my eyes, if you like. If you look at that in the natural sense, the people that are hired first are normally the tallest, the strongest, the smartest. I've said this before, but for new people that are in church, when I was a youngster, and I'm not putting myself down because I was rubbish at everything. The only thing I had going for me was I had a big mouth. I know it's hard to believe that I was outspoken, but I was. And that's all I had going for me. I wasn't smart intellectually. I wasn't good on the sports field. So we used to have, we used to play, all our kids used to go out. My mum used to open the door at 8 o'clock in the morning and say, come home when you're hungry. So we'd go out and we'd be on the playing field and we're going to play football. So there'd be two captains. This captain would pick his team and this captain would pick his team. So this captain would go, I'll have him. And this captain would go, I'll have him. So there's only two people left, me and the other person that can't play football. I was always at the end. When we played cricket, the only time, I couldn't see the ball coming. So I used to get knocked out because the ball would hit me on the head and I couldn't see it coming. I was rubbish at everything. So if I was standing in that marketplace in that time, I wouldn't have been picked. I would have been at the end. Yet God comes along and says to me, and he says to you as well, you also come and work for me. It doesn't matter how tall you are, how smart you are, how much you think of yourself. This is how much I think of you. So on this race, let's just not start well. Let's finish well. Let's look at the pendulum as it swings and let it be center that we continue to walk on that straight street. Because God chooses you. One of the first sermons I ever preached was we had a disco, if showing my age, a disco, yeah. And we invited all the kids that were on the streets to come into church. And we called it Take Five. Nigel will remember. He made me some speakers. And they were about this big. And you couldn't lift them up. They were never going to be stolen. That was for certain. And the kids would come in. And we called it Take Five because we took 5 minutes to preach the gospel. And I had the privilege of preaching the first time we did this event. And it was a message that God had given me on the narrow road and the broad road. And broad is the road that leads to destruction. And you look at the whole picture and it's easy to get into. The grass is lush and it is green. And as you continue to walk, the fruit is in abundance. But in the distance, there's a chasm. And your eyes become dimmer and dimmer as you walk this wide pathway that seems to be full of bountiful things. You become dimmer and dimmer. There is a bridge over that chasm, but you can't see it because you are so full and blinded by the God of this world that you fall into it, into your destruction. Then there's a narrow pathway which you open the gate, and as soon as you walk in, it seems to be full of prickles and thorns, and you go, this don't seem very good. The road seems to be hard and full of cobbles and obstacles. There's things we have to let go of in order to keep going forward. We have to let go of the baggage that we have accumulated over our lives as we are non-Christians. This roadway seems to be hard, and we can't take the things with us that we want to take with us, so we have to let them go. We have to let that disappointment go. We have to let that unforgiveness go. We have to let that bitterness go. We have to let that addiction go as we walk through. And as we get further and further, this is what the kids had to put up with. As we get further and further down that road, our eyes get brighter and brighter. And in the distance, we see a chasm. And as we look and we get closer to that chasm, we see there's a bridge. And when we look at that bridge, we see there's a name written on that bridge. And the name written on that bridge is Jesus. And he stretches out his arms and we walk across from death into life. Let's finish the race well. Let's know that no weapon forged against us will prosper. That God has already agreed to pay us that price, to give us that crown of glory. So it doesn't matter if you've been in the burden of the heat, and you've worked this Christian work and this Christian walk for many, many years, or you've just come into kingdom. The reward is the same. And I want us to be those that will grab hold of someone's arm and say, let's go together. Let's go a little further. So let's finish well this race that God has given us. Let's be encouragers. Let's celebrate with those that God blesses. When God blesses one of my friends, I want to celebrate with them. That is good. When God blesses you, I want to celebrate with you. When God blesses me, I want you to celebrate with me. When we go on this journey, we have to come on our own to start with. No one else can give you salvation. You have to accept it for yourself. You cannot take my faith and allow my faith to pull you along. You have to have your own faith. That's what the Bible says. But once you enter this race, once you start this race, then God gives you other people to run with. other people to journey with, other people to say, you can do this. There's been many times in my life in the ministry that God's called me to where I've had, I call them my armor bearers, lifting my arms up, saying, you can do this. And that's what I want to say to you as church. And I want you to say it to one another. We can do this together. Let's finish the race well. The pendulum has swung back to the center. The road may be narrow, but it's fruitful. It's fruitful, and our eyes will remain open. In Luke 11, verse 5, it says this. Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because Nigel's coming for dinner. He doesn't like bread. A friend of mine on the journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. Suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked. It goes on, and it says, in this particular version, it says, your audaciousness as you keep coming back and back. There are times where we know that the Lord has called us. There's times on this journey that we know God wants us to do something. And sometimes we can be deceived in thinking that, well, I prayed for it once, it didn't happen, so let's move on. I've asked them once, but they've not come, let's move on. I've invited them to church once, but they've said no, so let's move on. Let's keep knocking, let's keep asking, let's keep going. If you're somebody that has come to church and you're searching and you're seeking, and you've been more than once, that means this is you. You haven't gone, I've been to church once, I've heard him speak, I'm never going there again. And you come back, well, that means you're pushing through. And as you push through, you will see the answer to the question. Because this whole story talks about the audaciousness of the individual that says, I want to feed my friends, and you have provisions, and I'm knocking, and I'm searching, and I'm seeking, and I'm asking until I get the answer. Now, there are times where you might think Scripture contradicts itself, where it says, well, God knows what you want before you ask it. So you could think, why should I ask if God already knows? Fair question, isn't it? Well, you know that I need this, Lord, so I don't need to ask for it because I already have it. I have my healing, I have my prosperity, I have my Ferrari. I don't need any more because you know I need it. Well, there are wants and not our needs. But this was an opportunity to feed somebody else. So God is saying, push through. If you have an opportunity and God has called you, now the key is God. Has God called you to pray for someone? Pray, you get a revelation and you think, Lord, I know that if I pray for that person, they're going to find you. And then you pray for 2 years and then you go, well, maybe I never heard you. Keep praying. That's what this scripture says. Keep going until you receive your answer. If you have an ailment within your body, for some of us, we won't see that restoration until we're in eternity. But for others, you could see it today, tomorrow, next week. Keep asking, keep seeking. Not in desperation, but just as my daughter, she does not have a problem with asking me for things. She doesn't. Know the feeling? Our children, they don't have a problem. Dad, have you got any gas for the barbecue because mine's run out? Yes, son. Dad, have you got... Yes, son. Yes, daughter. Why? Because I want them to be blessed. Now, there will come a time when I'm old and crotchety and I will say, just pass me my walking stick, son. And he'll go, get it yourself. No, he'll say, yes, yes, Dad. Because what we sow, we will reap. Yeah? What we sow, we'll reap. And it's not about what we see with our eyes, it's what we know with our hearts. And God is saying through this scripture, keep on going. Persevere. And I'm saying, through using these scriptures, I'm telling this story that's threading through the Bible. Let's start well. Let's keep going and let's finish well. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You know, the joy of the Lord is ours now. We don't have to wait until we're in eternity. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, it says this. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful. If you think you're standing firm, be careful. Sometimes in our lives, we can we can think that on our own we can accomplish anything we want. We can be deceived into thinking it's me. It's my eloquence. It's my stature. It's my strength. It's my perseverance. It's my house. It's my car. Look what I have done. Sometimes in our passion for what God has done for us, we forget God. Sometimes we can think it's all about us. But it's, look what God has given me. Look what the Lord has blessed me with. And you know what? If God gives it, no one can take it away. That's why it's important to find this portion of scripture and see it as a positive. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Because no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, not if you are tempted, when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. See, God has already made a way where there is no way, where it don't seem to be possible. When you walk through the thicket of life, when you walk through the bush, if you like, when you walk through the jungle, when you walk through the treacle, the mud, whatever you want to say, when you walk through, you don't see there's an end. But God says, lift up your head, open your ears, have a look and see what I have done. And God wants us to start the race well and finish the race well. So I want to encourage you. Just with a couple more scriptures, if I may. In Galatians 6, verse 7, it says this. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So when we speak to each other, especially when I speak on a Sunday, I want my words to be inspired by what God has already said to us. I want them to be words that, yes, are through experience, but they have a meaning, they have a purpose. Not just dead words, but words that speak life and life in all its fullness. I want to encourage, yes, and there's times where we say, no, don't do that, and it's still encouraging, because if we don't do that, then God can bless us in this way. So, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So let's sow in order to please God, that we may be those that would receive his good and faithful blessings for us. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. That's why our motives need to be honorable. It's okay to be blessed. Did you know that? It's okay for Christians to have a healthy bank account. It is. It is. If you don't believe that and you have a healthy bank account, I'll give you my details. You can transfer your unwanted blessings to me. I'll take all the blessings I can get. But it's the love of money that's the wrong attitude, isn't it? It's not the money itself. So when we act in order to please our flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So when we sow to please God, so when we sow our generosity, when we sow our finances, when we sow our grace, when we sow forgiveness, we reap that righteousness. We get back from the Holy Spirit. We reap eternal life. The Bible says, don't store up on earth where moth, but store up in heaven. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. So when we talk about asking, seeking, knocking, we've prayed about this for a long time, we don't see anything. Don't give up, the Bible says. Don't become weary in well-doing. Is it a good prayer? Yes. Is it a good thing that you're doing? Yes. Is it good that you're praying, you're enabling, you're blessing your neighbors, you're blessing your enemies, you're keeping short accounts with God and short accounts with each other? Is it good? Well, at the right time, you will reap a harvest, the Bible says, if we do not give up. And just to tell you, I've said this before, but I think it's a good illustration. It's a true story of somebody that was going to swim a certain channel. I don't know what channel it was. And they was going to go from A to B, and it was several miles long. And they could say, I give up at any time, because there was a boat that was beside them. And the fog descended, apparently, in this story. And there came a point where this individual, can't remember if they're male or female, they chose to give up. They go, I can't go any further. And they got into the boat. and the boat was 10 minutes offshore. See, if they'd have seen the shore, they'd have pushed free, wouldn't they? And sometimes if we can see what God has for us, we will push through. But what God says is, do not become weary in well-doing. Because at the right time, at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. So don't give up. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those that belong to the family of believers, especially to each other. Let me finish with this final prayer, or this final portion of scripture. In John 4, verse 4, you, dear children, are from God, and you have overcome them. Who? The evil ones, the evil spirits. You've overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You see, there is a spiritual attack out there. It talks about recognizing the Antichrist, recognizing what's not of God. And we know enough to know when it's not God. And believe me, I've done it. I've kind of twisted and turned and tried to make it happen that I can say, well, God said. But I know when God says no. You know when God says no. So as a church, we've started the race. Let's finish the race well. On our journey, let's remember that God chooses us. It doesn't matter how much talent you might think you have. God chooses you. It doesn't matter how tall you are, how smart you are. It doesn't matter how much of the Bible you know or you don't know. If you love him, there's a crown in store for you, and that's a crown of righteousness. It doesn't matter what other people say about you. It's what God says about you. It's what God's word says about you. Well done, good and faithful servant. We want to be those that are full of faith. We want to be those that are not half-hearted, but wholehearted. We want to be those that will walk that narrow road, knowing that it will be difficult at times, but it will open up into this glorious, glorious scene. Our eyes will be opened, our ears will be unstopped, and we will be able to hear God say, come, well done. So as a church, as an individual, let's not give up. Let's understand afresh today that God's given us this race to run. Let's run it as if to win the prize. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you. We invite our worship team back. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace. We thank you for your enablement. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing, your favor. We thank you, Lord, that if you are for us, then who can be against us? We say afresh, Father God, here am I, send me. We ask you, Lord, to speak to us afresh in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you.